for the record, we have a quorum, and I will accept a motion to excuse those absent members who contacted me, unless other people have been contacted. David Gans, Jack Kurzweil, Tanya Russell, and Dan Siegel were the individuals who told me that they would not be here today. So. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Is there any objection to excusing the absent members identified? Seeing none, we will excuse those people. Okay, so now we are ready to talk about the agenda. So let me say there have been a couple of requests about the agenda. One is that we move public comments to later in the meeting because there are apparently individuals who wish to make public comments who can't come until I think the request was 12:30. Let me ask if there are people here in the audience who've come to make public comments who are not going to be able to stay until 12:30. Okay. All right. So, yes. Here, use the mic.
I propose that for today's meeting that we divide the public comment, and that we have the public comment from people who cannot stay, and then that we suspend it and come back to it when the other people show up. So we maximize the amount of time that people have to say what's on their mind, our listeners and staff, etc.
So moved.
Thank you. So it's been moved by Lewis Sawyer. Is there a second? Okay. Is there any objection to this procedure? We will hear public comments after we approve the agenda and then suspend it until other people have arrived who wish to make public comments. Okay. So now we are ready to approve the agenda. The only other, yes.
I'd like to add something to the agenda if I could.
Sure.
I'd like to add a board discussion of program.
Here.
Okay.
I'd like to add that the board have a discussion of programming that be, I would say, a minimum of a half an hour and probably longer than that. I would suggest that it go whatever length of time we need to go, and if we start it this month and we don't have time, that it continue. And my motivation for that is that we're not discussing specific programs, we're not discussing specific personnel. What we are discussing is what each of us, as members of a community, think is the purpose of KPFA, who we are programming for, and how we are going about it. You know, if who is our desired audience, and if that's the case, what do we think the best way to reach that goal is? Taking into consideration new media, the web, and how that is affecting things, that radio is going down in popularity. Just in terms of, as a group of people, we have a CAB, we have a program council. We seek members of the community's input, and I don't know why we're not starting with 25 that sit at this table. The purpose of that also is to find out what our differences are and what our agreements are. We might actually all think we should be reaching the same audience. Wouldn't that be a remarkable finding? Anyway, so that's my proposal.
Okay. Sasha, where would you like to put that on the agenda?
New business. I guess, or yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Sasha's made a motion that we add to new business a discussion on programming. Is there a second to that motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, second.
Okay, good. Discussion, Ringo.
Well, I was wondering, that's why I was getting to the, it's there. Andrew is supposed to come and talk to us today. And I was thinking that some of this could be involved in that discussion. I strongly agree that this is a good idea. But I was wondering whether we needed a separate point on the agenda. I'm not against it. I'm just saying whether we need it or whether it could be embodied in the conversation that we have with Andrew, which could be a wider conversation instead of one in which we're asking Andrew questions or talking to him questions, that we go back and forth. But I'm very Catholic on this.
I'm fine with that. I look at this as something that's going to take us several hours, actually. I mean, to have a decent discussion, especially after 5 years of never discussing programming on this board. I suspect, you know, it's going to be a very long discussion. I'd be fine with it starting with Andrew today. I mean, we might be establishing exactly what the parameters are for the discussion and so forth.
Okay, let me ask if anyone has any objection. When Andrew makes his report, I will say that we discussed this matter earlier and that we will be able, that once his report is finished and we people have asked all the questions that they want to ask, that we would like to spend a certain amount of time, and maybe at that time we would decide how much time discussing programming. Does anyone have any objections to that procedure? Andrea, give that woman a microphone. Oh, we've got cord wind up here. It's okay. I'll just hang on to this one. I think it'll be all right.
Madam Chair.
Now she's got two mics.
No, I got two. I'd like a little clarification on, it's a procedural matter, because when I read the agenda, I tend to think of reports as simply being reports. And so I'm concerned that if under the GM report we use that as sort of a catch-all to begin having wide-ranging conversations and inviting proposals, it feels like we're going to lose a sense of chronology and a sense of new business, old business. And so I guess I would like to break out issues under new business or under old business and not use, I'd like folks to give reports, but I don't think that's really an appropriate time to invite all those proposals.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we just take a vote and see how many people would prefer to add the programming discussion as an item under new business and how many people would prefer to just allow it to be part of the discussion we have after Andrew's report. Matthew.
I just have a question, which is I think this is a very important discussion, and we really haven't had a chance to think about it. And so what worries me is going into this discussion without any opportunity beforehand to exchange some ideas on things, to think about it. So I'm just a little worried about raising this in a way when we're not, when we haven't been able to think through for ourselves some of the issues. So I'm a little hesitant to just do it today. I think it should be scheduled for our next meeting, for instance, or something like that.
Okay, further discussion on the motion, Sasha.
Well, if we started it today, we might want to discuss the parameters of the discussion and the ground rules and things of that nature, because I know there's quite a division about whether we're allowed to even mention the word programming in a board meeting. So, you know, we might overcome that so that we could get down to a serious discussion, you know, the next month. And I really see this as something that will take a bit, and, you know, we might get a better handle for how long, you know, if we discuss parameters and so forth, we might get a better handle on how much time to allot or whether it should continue over several meetings and so forth, if that works for you. I agree. I mean, I was hesitant putting it on, but I figured it was going to be a royal fight about getting this on the agenda. It might not succeed anyway, or I would have suggested it via email earlier.
Now, you wanted the floor?
Only to say that I think it would be appropriate to start the discussion today with the notion that this would by no means be a definitive discussion.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna abuse my role as chair here and say that I believe that this should be an item under new business, that it should not be part of the discussion of Andrew's report. I don't think that's appropriate. So we're going to vote on whether to add the issue of programming as described by Sasha as a new item, an item under new business, okay?
Do we have any idea how long Andrew can stay?
I don't know. But
so do we want to maybe...
I think he intends to stay for the rest of the day.
If he can, we move this to be, you know, so that he could be included?
Yeah. He indicated to us when we met with him last week that he planned to, once he arrived, he would stay for the rest of the meeting. Okay. So all those in favor of adding programming as an item of new business, raise your hands. Okay. Hands down. Those opposed? Excellent. Okay. Are there, and I just wanted to say that the only other thing we, I think we should be flexible about is the question of the GM report. If we get to that item on the agenda before Andrew has arrived, then we'll just put it off until he gets here, okay?
Just a point of information?
Yes, Tracy.
When we're adding it to new business, I would presume we're adding it as a third item of new business.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yes.
I sort of expected under old business to see something on the budget process. I thought that we, you know, given the budget workshop and we have a timeline we're supposed to be following related to the process, so it seemed like I sort of came here. I didn't get a copy of the agenda until I think Thursday, but I was surprised that that wasn't on that as old business. I'm also interested, when last we left, we had talked about mediation and a mediation process, so I would have presumed that that would reappear under old business since it wasn't.
No, okay. Let me say about the treasurer's report.
Or if there's some other place on the mediation where that would surface, I just don't know.
I thought the mediation question was resolved at the last meeting.
It was. We can't mediate while we're being sued.
You're right, we can't mediate while there are lawsuits pending among board members.
Right. Oh. Okay.
Okay, and
that's not what the minutes show.
It makes sense.
And then we're going to approve the minutes pretty soon. Okay, and then on the question of the budget, I don't think that's a problem if we have business to take up. If we want to vote on some things around the budget, then we'll put that under old business, but I'm not sure we're going to be taking any votes today on anything.
Question?
Yes, Sasha.
I think this is off the top of my head, but don't we have, as by the end of May, we're supposed to have dealt with a draft budget?
Yeah.
As our calendar of deadlines, and at the end of June, I think we're supposed to take that even further, and by the end of July, we're supposed to have approved
a
budget.
That's right.
For the coming year.
It's supposed to be the LSB.
No, I think the LSB is supposed to.
I've got my calendar here.
Yeah, I think by the end of May we're supposed
okay,
to have
well, hold
taken
on a second.
Our first.
I'm Barbara.
I'll act at the budget.
Respond.
At the end of May, there's supposed to be a draft budget that the LSB receives to begin to review. The final LSB approval deadline is the end of July.
So we get a draft budget by the end of May.
We'll discuss it.
Okay. All right. Is that clear?
CFO.
Okay.
By the end of May.
Is that clear? What? I'm sorry, Andrea. What?
My understanding, when at the last meeting, there was a motion put forward to have a budget workshop to attempt to identify budget priorities, and so that's why I expect to see that item on as old business, because I would presume that we would discuss what those budget priorities are and what those projects are that we intend to emphasize or
it's raising enough money to keep the station on the air without spending more on extra
okay
projects.
So I think we're supposed to be talking about budget priorities and that those priorities should be reflected in the draft budget. I'm not at this point sure what those priorities are.
I think that what Barbara reported was that a draft budget must be prepared by the end of May, and that at our June meeting we will discuss it. And I think that's where the issue of priorities will be discussed. If you want to have a discussion about budget priorities today, I have no objection to that, and we can put it on old business.
Thank you.
I am going to report on the budget workshop that we had.
Okay.
There's something to hand out.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I'm just
okay.
Trying to be responsive to a decision-making process
right.
As well as a reporting process.
Okay. So let's just, you know, deal with, if there are motions that we have to deal with on the budget process, we will deal with them under old business. Okay? All right. Are there any other changes to the agenda? All right. Thank you. Now I'll accept a motion to approve the agenda. Second? Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Is there any objection to approving the agenda as revised? Thank you all very much. Now we are ready for public comments. If someone will bring me the clipboard, I will. I'd like to.
How long for each person?
Well, let's see. I don't know. We usually do 2 minutes. Is that all right? Is 2 minutes okay?
That's right. You were supposed to say
okay. All right. If somebody needs additional time, they can ask. And I want to note for the record that Sharam has arrived. They've got one over there. Okay. So the names on the list are Kate Gowan, Jean Bernardi, and Eileen Alfandary. So we'll start with Kate, and Jean will follow.
Okay,
fine. Okay, good. Thank you, Kate. All right. Then Jean Bernardi. And the microphone's right there. Thank you.
Is it on?
Yeah.
The reason that I'm here today is that I had heard on the radio that the way I remember hearing it was that Pacifica had received corporate money. And then later I heard the general manager speaking on the radio, and he said that he thought that was okay. So in all of 57 years that I've been subscribing to KPFA, that's always been a very taboo thing. And after I got here, I have been apprised that perhaps there was a misunderstanding concerning what this contribution was and from whom it came and whether it was really corporate. But I don't know if all of you are aware of what actually happened. But I'm sure there are other people, listeners as myself, who are still up in the air about this and maybe even holding back on, hey, what's KPFA all about at this time? So that was why I came today. I don't know whether that'll be brought up during your report on fundraising or the treasurer's report or what, but thank you.
Okay. We can report on that during the reports, committee reports. Okay. Thank you, Jean. Eileen?
I wanted to send this around both sides.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for hearing me out yet once again. I'm Eileen Alfandary, the co-news director at KPFA. I'm sending around a graph that was produced last week after the first 2 weeks of the fund drive showing the year-to-date differences in fundraising, which are pretty stark. The fund drive is tanking at KPFA. And I know that there's disagreement about who has said what to whom. We are all, let me be clear, all the staff are working, paid and unpaid, as hard as we can to get people to subscribe.
Please.
But listenership is down. Listenership is down, not because people are telling people not to listen. It's because people have not been finding the programming in the morning that suits them anymore, and they're turning elsewhere. And I have heard that from so many people. I'm asking you to ask the manager to engage in fact-based decision-making, fact-based, evidence-based decision-making. When Andrew and Carrie unveiled their last proposal, which they have since withdrawn, some of the staff, we met with them, we said, how did you come up with this idea to get rid of Democracy Now! At 9, to do this, that, and the other? Did you rely on online listening? Did you rely on fundraising? Who did you talk to? And the responses, I won't go through them all, were very disappointing. We need a better process. We need a better system. We need fact-based decision-making, smart decision-making, or KPFA is not going to be around much longer. I want to say one more thing because I know my time is running out. We have the staff in place right now to put half of a morning show back on the air at 8 a.m. I'm around, Laura's around, Kirsten's around, the former producer's around, Brian is around. By any stretch of the imagination, anybody who knows radio knows that would be a much better decision than the one I saw in an email sent to staff last night, which is there's going to be a new morning mix with, again, different set of volunteers every day. Folks, that's not going to work. This is where it's brought us. We are tanking. So I'm asking you to ask the manager to please, thank you, my time is up, to please engage in evidence-based, fact-based decision-making. That's my plea to you and to the management team. Thank you.
Thank you.
Question about the graph?
Eileen, hang on a second.
Yes. So like when something says minus $2,000, for example, that means
$2,000 less than a year ago? Because you can't have, you can't raise minus two.
Yes, what that means is it's looking at how much the average was pledged in the first 2 weeks of the fund drive last spring in each of those hours, and how much, and that's obviously going to be much less significant for the weekend programs, but for the first 2 weeks of the daily programs, that was based on 10 programs. In spring of last year, 10 programs in spring of this year. And as you can see, you know, a little up, a little down, or, in, you know, with letters and politics, you know, at least the first 2 weeks, you know, doing quite a bit better. But what's killing us is 6 to 9. That's where we're having the huge drop-off in fundraising. And we've had a corresponding drop-off because, you know, those of us who work at the station look every day as the mornings are proceeding at an online listening graph. And the online listening graph, you know, under the good work that Mitch and Laura were doing, when Mitch came in, I mean, he turned it around as the morning show producer. It used to dip. It started being like an arc every morning. As soon as it came off the air, we had, like, every day we would look at it. Some days it would be a rolling valley. Other days would be like lemmings off the cliff. Every day at 8 a.m. I mean, it's not because we told people anything. It's because people were tuning in. And I don't mean to criticize the people doing the programming. But, again, Radio 101 tells you that if you have a consistent program with the same hosts every day, you know, you're going to have more listeners than you put a different volunteer on every day. That's, like, basic.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you. People understand the graph? Okay, thank you very much. All right, now we are ready to move on. And the next item on the agenda is announcements. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. What? Yeah, we did. We did approve the agenda. Oh, yes, I want to note for the record that Richard Phelps has arrived. You're welcome. And we will take up the question of additional public comments later when more people who want to speak have arrived. Can someone take this back to the table? Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll pass it along. Oh, thank you, Susie. And then as people come in, if you will, someone sitting back there will note, point them to the sign-up sheet, I'd appreciate it.
I just have a question related to public comment. Well, all right, never mind. She's gone.
Okay. And so now we're ready for announcements. Any members of the board have any announcements to make? Okay, I have an announcement. As some of you know, and some of you may not know, we elected our delegates to the PMB, this board elected delegates to the PMB in January. Subsequently, there was a challenge to the status of Dan Siegel, who was one of our elected delegates, and the PMB made a decision not to seat Laura Privis and Dan Siegel at that time. The matter was taken to court, and the court ruled that their removal from the board was inappropriate and issued a preliminary injunction, if I got their words right, putting them back on the PMB. Subsequently, the PMB made a decision to appeal the preliminary injunction and put them off the board again. So that second decision to put them off the board has been appealed, and there will be a hearing on that matter in civil court in Superior Court of Alameda County on June 3rd at 9 a.m. at the old post office building. It's Department 31. And the address is 201 13th Street on the second floor. And if you didn't get that information, you can ask me later and I'll restate it for you. But I want to urge anyone who's interested in this matter to come to court and observe the proceedings. Okay, any other announcements?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd like to congratulate one of our former board members, Susan McDonough. She received the Community Services Award from the Alameda County Labor Council last night. Packed house, Barbara Lee and everybody was there, and McErnie, and just all the legislators, just to give good greetings to Susan McDonough, and it was a good turnout, so I'm real proud of her, and I think we should announce that. If anyone else knows John Fromer, he's coping. John Fromer of the Freedom Song Network, and he's coming along, so I just wanted to let the listeners know that. And
he's
because people,
he's
very ill, but we could talk about it later afterwards. So I just wanted to say we're all sending him the best coming out of KPFA land. Also, I'd like to thank all of the volunteers who have been personing the listening, the radio room, taking calls from everybody. And I would like to encourage other people out there in Radio Land to do likewise. We need volunteers, and this is our opportunity to help KPFA to try to pull them through right now, us through. We, the voices of the masses. So just come on down and help us out, because we sure need it right now. Let's keep this ship afloat.
Okay, yes.
Actually, just thought of this. The KPFA apprenticeship program is accepting applications for new apprentices. If anybody knows anybody that wants to participate in the 15 to 18 months volunteer program at the station to learn producing, broadcasting, interviewing, commentary, writing, all that stuff, they can go to kpfaapprentice.org and download an application. And I just advise anybody that knows anybody that might be interested to let them know. Me and Lewis Sawyer are graduates of the program, and I think that's it here, but a lot of people are.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Good program.
Any other announcements? All right. Seeing none, we will move on. So now we've come to the moment of approving the minutes, and the minutes were sent out to individual board members and also passed out in hard copy this morning. And we will now hear any additions or corrections to the minutes. Henry.
This is a minor point, but this is not any effect. So, in the first paragraph of the point six, the general manager report, a paper I submitted on the subject. I don't know, it sort of sounds like it was about the web portal project that Andrew has in mind, and it wasn't. So can we just make it a paper I submitted on Pacifica and the Internet?
Sure. Removing the words "the subject" and replacing them with Pacifica and the Internet. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Just for everyone's clarification, it was something that that I wrote for the PNB Tech Committee last year, so before any of the current.
Any additional corrections to the minutes? Tracy.
It looks to me like they were made, but I just want to verify with Craig. There were three sort of minor wording things that I emailed. It looks to me like at least two of them were changed. I think all three were?
All three were, yeah. The minutes I sent around on email didn't include the third one, and the third one is incorporated in this. So all of those, yeah.
That's
that was good.
Thought.
Glad you saw that.
Cool. Okay. Andrea.
So I guess I'm looking at the report here where it says mediation retreat, and there's nothing in the minutes that reflects any decision made by this body. And so if there was such a decision, it would be good to see it, because I was kind of expecting, as I said, to see that progressing.
This is Craig. I don't believe that was the report about the mediator not wanting to participate because of pending lawsuits. I don't believe that was part of the report at the Humanist Hall. I think that came out on the email list.
Yes.
Later. Otherwise, I'm sure I would have incorporated that in the minutes.
No, that's right.
So that's my recollection.
Yeah.
And that's why that's not here. And so just for the record, you know, maybe we should have a follow-up report on that.
So what I would suggest is that we add the mediation under new business and have a formal motion.
Old business,
I'm sorry, under old business.
That's what I was telling you.
Okay, is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, any other corrections to the minutes?
Move it down.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded that the minutes be adopted as corrected. Are there any objections? Seeing none, we will accept the minutes as adopted as corrected. Okay, so the GM isn't here yet, so we're going to move now into the treasurer's report.
Okay, well, first I have papers.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
While the treasurer is getting her stuff together, maybe we could give a brief report on the question that Ms. Bernardi raised so that she can leave if she wants to.
Oh, okay. So I'm sure there are people here who will correct me, but this is my understanding of what happened. There's an individual in New York who wished to remain anonymous who recommended to the charitable arm of Goldman Sachs, which is called Goldman Sachs or Goldman Gives, I don't remember if the Sachs is in there or not, that donations be made to WBAI. There was some question about whether these donations were made to support a specific set of programs that had to deal with the issue of fracking. But apparently those were not binding in any way. As a result of this suggestion, Goldman Sachs gave two donations to WBAI, one in the amount of $5,000 and one in the amount of $10,000. And if I recall correctly, the $5,000 was given last fall and the $10,000 was given earlier this year. This was, for reasons I don't know, there was a misunderstanding. Someone from the WBAI LSB reported that BAI had accepted money from Merrill Lynch, not Goldman Sachs, and so the matter was investigated and it was reported out. That's what happened. And whether or not, you know, I believe we need to have a discussion about the question of corporate funding, and the reason we need to have that discussion is because I think there are people in the organization who believe that, you know, we can do that in a responsible way, and there are people who believe we can't. So, but that's, I think, what happened. Tracy wants to comment.
No, that's basically right. I just wanted to clarify two things. The first is that the individual who doesn't work for Goldman Sachs anymore, this was what they call an individual giving account. It was administered by Goldman Sachs Gives, but it's a portion of that person's salary or whatever that they have administered as a charitable giving thing through Goldman Sachs. So it's up to the donor. It's basically individual giving. The other thing is that as Margie said, it turned out that there were no restrictions on the use of the funds whatsoever. That was clarified. So it is basically an individual donation from a wealthy individual formerly affiliated with Goldman Sachs.
Okay. Jean, does that answer your question? Do you feel like you've...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, that's a question, and I think, you know, there needs
fact-based.
We need something that needs to be figured out how to make sure that people at least have the facts, and then we can go forward from there to have a discussion about what we want and what is appropriate under Pacifica's bylaws. Thank you. So now, are you ready, Barbara?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I'm ready for the first part. There are,
you know,
two.
Use that microphone because this one's way too heavy.
Okay. I actually have two documents to pass out today, but I've passed one. Any extra copies can go on the table there,
and there are some that the audience could pick up. The first document looks like this. It's two pages. The first page is just half
they?
Printed.
They've stopped somewhere.
They're on the
tip. They're there.
Oh, somebody asked them back. No, I didn't get one. Thank you. Sorry, Barbara.
It's okay. So this is something that actually is essentially a copy of an email that I sent to people who attended the budget workshop on April 30th. Plus, I put it up on the email list for the LSB. And the first paragraphs are summaries of the discussion we had. And at the end, there are representatives of charts that we had up on the wall, which were responses from various staff units to Maria's request that people turn in any special budget items they would like us to consider when we're making the budget for the next year. And there were different types of responses. The first one there is from the apprenticeship program. And I had to add the words to full potential they were requesting. And they did make a very dramatic proposal about how far they could expand the apprenticeship program if in fact there was funding available. One thing that isn't included here, and it's not really included in any of these different departmental requests, is the salaries that exist now. Those are in a separate budget category. And so what you see here for the apprenticeship program is not does not include the one half-time person that they have now on staff for that. But they are requesting four more part-time people. And that's the only group that has any real reflection on increasing positions. You'll see that I've made some handwritten notes on the right-hand side opposite the type things. And, of course, it does make a difference what these various groups have been given in the past. So there's figures there about what's budgeted for this current year, $1,160. And last year, the apprenticeship program had expenses of $952. This is outside of a salary for the director. And then for 2009, it was $672. As much as we all praise and like the apprenticeship program, I think it's really clear that it's been potentially underfunded as far as thinking of its potential. Now, the next section, the computer website software upgrades, this would be much more time-consuming for me to go back and try to find where these things had been budgeted. They were in various sections. For instance, the database manager has something in here. Some people who are working on the website have something in here. And so I just wasn't able to provide you with comparable things for the previous years for that. But these are items that those people responded to saying that we needed currently or for this next year. The development department, I did give you figures that what they were funded for this year and the previous years. The only thing that is listed as an addition for the coming year, Phil Asageta calculates how many extra hours he needs to have people caretaking or the captain in the phone room when there's fundraising. And so the basic budget includes many more things than just who's in the phone room, but that fluctuates depending on the number of hours that it needs to be captained. The music department, again, the various supplies and so on show up in different categories. He doesn't have an identified budget line, so I wasn't able to put down any previous figures for you to compare anything with. I will say that the head of the music department or program also requested that his salary be restored to full time, and since other salaries are being negotiated about what percentage time, I didn't put that in this list. The news department, I've given you figures of their actual budget for this year and their expenses for the previous 2 years. But the things that are requested here for next year are extra hours because it's an election year, as you can see, and some equipment that they know they need. The transmitter and on-air studio phone equipment is self-explanatory. After we had this budget workshop and the discussion, which, as everybody who attended it knows, centered pretty much on how important it is to improve our website, the business manager informed me that there really is a lot of work being done now, and that's why probably this, the amount in this last item, the transmitter and on-air phone equipment, and part of the one up above, the computer website software upgrades, are some people have said these appear not sufficient, really, to do the kind of dramatic thing to improve the website that people were talking about. And the business manager has assured me that there are already expenses being paid and work being done on this. So I think probably what's necessary or would be a good idea is the kind of thing that the general manager has been talking about, of meeting with people like Henry and whoever else is involved, and just continuing to work on improving the website. I think you probably need more financial information than we've got so far, but this is something we can keep accumulating and researching and working on. I'd like to thank again everybody who came to the budget workshop. I think it was a really good discussion that we had that day. And I don't know whether we want to entertain questions or anything now, but I have another, whoops.
Lost your hat.
Another document to pass out, unless somebody has. Yes.
Yeah,
why don't we have we have some questions and discussions on the workshop now? I'll let you chair.
Okay. Tracy.
This is just an update. Coming out of that meeting, I said I would do a couple of things around
computer
equipment.
That's right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to report. No, it's okay. I just wanted to update what I actually did because there's a couple of questions in there or
you gave
requests for input.
Answers on emails, and I should have included that.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. I'll be fast. Okay. So I said that I would make a couple cold requests to some computer companies, wholesale, can retail, to see if they might be able to throw us half a dozen or a dozen computers. I asked for 12 just for fun. So those requests did go out on Pacifica's behalf to Best Buy, to Hewlett-Packard, to Office Depot, and to Staples. I don't know if anything will come of that. Two other things. I did suggest, and I'm going to suggest again, that KPFA Pacifica start a TechSoup account. TechSoup is a nonprofit that provides software licenses and hardware equipment at a very low cost. Any 501c3 is eligible. They do have computers that might or might not meet our needs available in the vicinity of about $400 each, which is, you know, it's a substantial discount. They also can usually provide software licenses for a number of programs, so I'm hoping that we'll do that. The other two things that I wanted to say was the University of San Francisco gets rid of computers on an ongoing basis. They're usually pretty good machines, and they usually have about anywhere between 15 and 40 of them to get rid of annually. I have an in there. What's required is to demonstrate the relationship between the University of San Francisco community and KPFA. So if there are any USF alumni out there or people who have any brilliant ideas of how we are connected to the University of San Francisco community, please see me, because I have the app and I'm about to get started writing it, and I could use some inspiration for the nature of those deep connections that would justify them giving us a bunch of their computers, which I think they should. The last thing that I wanted to say is there's a couple of things in here that are fairly small scale. In addition to computers, there's stuff like recorders, headphones, can laser printers? I mean, from everything that I can see, laser printers are recycled on a pretty ongoing basis all over the Bay Area. So I would recommend that we get a wish list type of document up, both on the website and via a cart, where we tell people that we need their laser printers, headphones, and recorders, and I think we probably could meet some of those needs by simple donations, because they're fairly small scale. So I just wanted to put that out, that I think that would be a pretty good idea and might actually work, because I know that the laser printer needs are not just one that, you know, we could use like three or four or five of them, and I think that's kind of doable. That's all.
I know that the one of the tech persons on the staff has made an announcement, a cart that he puts out, asking just that kind of thing, saying we use our computers until we kill them, and it's good for us every once in a while to get some new ones, and anybody donating. Okay, and Henry, did you have a question? I should also say that a number of people asked to have Henry's report sent to them, and that has been done, and I suppose anybody else who wants it, he might comply.
Sure. I just had a comment, if that's okay, about the question of the website. You said the business manager had assured you that there was money being spent, and I just want to clarify that there's sort of a fork in the road, maybe, or a choice to be made. The website as it's currently set up is clearly an adjunct to the broadcast programming. I mean, its main functions are providing, you know, scheduling information and the archives. And having gone to the meeting that Andrew called of the so-called Web Task Force and listened to Michael Yoshida and Roger, I don't know Roger's last name, but
Marquis, I think.
Who's being paid, I guess, as a consultant or something to work on the website. It's very clear that although they are sincerely trying to improve the website, they are sticking within that very same framework. You know, they want to tweak the design and make it, you know, some ways easier to navigate and put in some forms that staff can use to provide information about their programs and so on. All very worthwhile. But their main goal, really, that they made very clear, is to try to do all these things with minimal changes, minimal expense, minimal staff time, set up systems that will operate automatically without having to change things very, you know, without staff having to be involved and so on. I understand where they're coming from, particularly given the financial situation, but I just want to put out the fact that what I was arguing for in the budget workshop and in the paper that I wrote and in other circumstances, I think we're really, if we do that, we're missing out on the 21st century. Mm-hmm. I think we need to put the website not just as an adjunct to our broadcast, but at the center of our efforts. We need to have a whole different culture about what we're doing. It needs to have multimedia. It needs to have interactivity with the listeners, not just, you know, a half dozen comments a week, but, you know, blogs and chats and Facebook links and Twitter feeds about current events. It needs to have pictures and Amy Goodman has done some of this, has gone part of the way on her site. I think actually we need to go much farther. We need to have a whole different attitude about information from other sources. So we're not just relying on it's not just about KPFA's programming. We should have links to the many other local organizations that are producing information about the Bay Area and the community and the world for that matter. So I could go on a length, and probably most of you have some glimmer of what I'm talking about. But as far as I can tell, and having put a significant amount of time into trying to talk to people about this and stuff, that is not the vision of anyone at the station now, and no one has that concept as a goal. And in fact, they can't do it on the kind of resources that they're talking about, even with the budget. If that's a goal that we, if this board agrees that something along those lines should be an objective for the station, then we're going to have to make the case that we're going to have to suggest ways to come up with additional resources to do that. I actually think that it might be possible because that we could fund it outside of our usual funding sources. There's a lot of people in Silicon Valley who might be interested in a website that tried to present itself as a real center for progressive content. But not just for our, I don't think it's going to fly if we just, those people aren't going to fund tweaking a site that's just about our current programming. But somehow or other, I raised the idea, I'm not sure this is the best idea, but I raised the idea that trying to fund a consultant to develop a concrete plan for a vision for what the website would look like, to cost out what would be involved in staff time, software, maybe some hardware. We don't really need very much hardware. And most of this can be done with open source software. So we're not really necessarily talking about very huge expenses, but we need a plan, and we're not going to get it with the current, with the people who are in charge of the website now, the way they're thinking about it now.
I'd like to ask you, do you have any more meetings scheduled with the general manager, with the interim general manager about this? Do you know of any?
I've had some personal discussions with him. As far as I know, the web task force that he convened has only met once, and there was attempt to set up some subgroups. I think, frankly, most people at the meeting were not very inspired by the discussion, and I'm not sure that's going anywhere. Now with the fund drive, it's kind of in the back burner. And just to throw in a personal note, I hope to Gaza on the flotilla next month, and that's the main focus of my, I'm not going to have much time to work on this in the next month or two, so.
I guess not. I know that Tracy had made a suggestion at the meeting also about some kind of funding application thing you were.
Oh, the night thing.
Yes.
No, I can give an update on that.
Sure. Why don't you?
Okay. Well, the Knight Digital Challenge is an annual, what's the word? It's almost like a sweepstakes event. That the Knight Foundation puts out. It's every December. It's basically looking for innovative online platforms for delivering news. The Project Spot US is one that came out of a Knight Foundation grant from the Digital Challenge. They're large grants, usually multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it was a suggestion that if, in fact, there was a concrete plan or vision for a website that would do some interesting things in terms of information delivery, that we might want to start thinking about a proposal. I since spoke to Roger about it, and he showed me a proposal that had been put in 2009. That was turned down, not surprisingly, most are. And there was a question about whether it then made sense to consider applying once again this year. I think it might, but it's a fairly major effort, so it's a question of sort of priorities. But if we wanted to try to turn, for example, Henry's document into a concrete proposal, it might be a good exercise
to do that, even if we don't win, because it would kind of concretize a bit what we were trying to do with the website and what our vision would be if we could do everything that we wanted to do working with $500,000. It's an option. It was just kind of thrown out there. But that was the feedback that I got from Roger. And so the question is sort of, do people want to work on a serious effort in that direction or not? It will probably require some technical expertise. We would probably need to, you know, have some considerable cooperation from some tech folks in order to really flesh out a proposal.
To make a good
I mean, I'm not strong enough technically to kind of anchor something like that. So we would need some folks with superior tech skills that really wanted to plan something
well, and grant application skills.
All of those things, yes.
I wanted to recognize Andrea, but first, I know that you had made a very interesting proposal at the budget workshop, which was that membership should buy you some way to use the things available on an interesting website. And I think I hit on some of these things here, but they're very small sentences, and so I'm happy to have people talk a little bit more about it. Is that what you want to talk about, or did you have another question?
I'm a little reluctant to go too far, you know, with all these great ideas for them, but the great idea has to go to the person who's going to implement it. And so without the interim general manager here, I feel like, you know, it's good to get a report, but I don't want to go too much into discussion. But I do think, I do appreciate your efforts to put together the budget workshop. It was very different from what I had proposed last meeting, because I feel like there's sort of a gap in our education here on the board. I feel like there's things that we need to get more educated about so that we can make some intelligent decisions. One, about just the funds that we have available. Now everybody says, oh, you're crazy, we're barely staying, we're barely floating. You know what, if we have that dead on a raft in the middle of the ocean kind of mentality, we're definitely gonna die. If we're not thinking about how we're going to get out of this situation, so we have to look and scrape, and I need either the budget, I don't know if it's the treasurer or the GM or who is going to tell us what, however small, what discretionary funds do we have to apply either to paying somebody to write a grant, paying somebody to change the website, paying these consultants that Henry talks about. But if we don't do that, we know we're going over the edge of the cliff. Unless we do something dramatically different, things are going to grind to a halt here. So I had proposed that we spend some of that budget process learning about the tech thing, because I think as we look into the future, you know, if you read, I don't know how many people have actually read Henry's document, but things like looking to the future of radio via car, right? Now, I'm somebody, I had an 8-track cassette player, 8-track tapes, but apparently they're going to be putting internet in the cars. And so what we're going to need on this quote-unquote website, which I think is going to be more than a website, you pay $5 and you download an app that will let you access the stream, the live streaming from KPFA. So while you may not be getting a radio signal, the content is available in remote areas. As a matter of fact, we should be doing that right now. We should have an app where people can do that right now, because we have listeners in Petaluma and they're in or in faraway places that want to access the signal and could do so on their little devices quite mobily. That's just one of the things that we need to get hip to. We're just not, and you know, I put myself as part of that generation that's not necessarily thinking in that tech space. But if we don't allow ourselves to be educated, then we're going to keep applying old solutions to new problems. And so the two things that I feel like we need is, one, a deeper understanding and commitment to these tech platforms, this new stuff. And the other thing is to really look at the budget and make some choices about what we think is going to lead to an increase in revenue and listenership. Is it going to be taking that, you know, sounds like the interim general manager is not committed to hiring a specific dedicated development director. we need to debate some strategies about what we think over the next year is going to give us the result that we want to. But that's why I don't mean to be a pill, but I'm trying to say that we have to make some budget. I'd love to, at least, if we're fighting this hard, I'd love to do it as a matter of intention and setting, this is our strategy, this is our plan. It either works or it doesn't, but at least we're trying a plan instead of just sort of letting the river take us where it will and just kind of using last year's numbers into next year. That doesn't seem to me to be a logical thing to do. So I'm eager, and I'm sorry that the general manager wasn't at that budget meeting, because we asked him when he was here, and he indicated yes, but I didn't see him there. So, but I think we have to have that process. So whether that happens when he's here today or at next month's meeting, I want to see that on the agenda, and I want to see that happen here.